Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. On the radio, 1 to 4 after 4 o'clock, John and Ken on demand podcast.
Dave, already missed 2 hours. If you're just tuning in now, you got to go back and listen to those 2 hours later.
You missed a lot of agitprop. Agitprop.
Agitprop's the word of the day. You know, but at least we're honest about it. We're a show that's all opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we throw in a few facts here and there, but we are opinion. That's why I call us opinion shapers. I like that term.
An occasional fact.
An occasional fact is thrown in there, but
whenever we honestly throw a fact in, we'll highlight it.
Well, how important are facts to opinion anyway in today's world?
Facts are boring.
But we're not disguised. I think when most people look at these news websites, they think they're getting the facts and the details of the story. Well, right. But no, that's where agitprop came from. They're getting opinion, trying to shape your life. That's what they're doing with it.
They've also veered into just outright lying. Because if I say there's been a lot of smash and grab robberies, that's not an opinion. It's what's happening. It's reality. But they're publishing these stories claiming that, well, no, it's really not anything unusual. Yes, it is. Stop it.
Well, they might argue that they're just more fantastic robberies, more sensational smash and grabs with these mobs.
They're scary.
Maybe there aren't any more crimes than there were. It's just the way they're being performed or on a larger scale and makes you think
they look terrifying, okay? You imagine being In one of these department stores.
Oh, I'm ready for it. Yeah, I'm ready for somebody to come in and like a little mob and just start smashing stuff.
I think everybody ought to be carrying bear spray on them. And
that's, sticks. I guess that's more effective than pepper spray.
I think it probably would be. Whatever you want. Bear spray, pepper spray, and sticks.
Nunchucks.
Like you see on these videos. Yeah, whatever it takes. It's war out there. Hey, you're not getting Karen Bass, Karen Bascone protecting you.
All right, a quick reminder that the Moist Line is coming tomorrow during this hour. We got room for messages. Use the iHeartRadio app or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86. Well, we have a district attorney, of course he could be nowhere near Los Angeles, who has had it with homelessness in his city. And he is threatening with a 30-day deadline to charge city leaders with not enforcing the laws to clean up the encampments. We're talking about Sacramento, and we're talking about the Sacramento district attorney, a name we've never come across before on the show. In fact, I had Ray try to get him on, but I guess it didn't work. His name is Thien Ho. He apparently has, well, he started in the DA's office back in 2004, and years later he got elected to the top office. But he wrote a letter to Daryl Steinberg and the city leaders that he can't believe the conditions in Sacramento, particularly around the city offices, that there's encampments, there's filth, there's needle. I mean, you know the list. It sounds like San Francisco's Tenderloin, right? But he went further. He gave them a 30-day deadline, which we're coming up against, to clean up the encampments, or he threatens to start charging people with offenses. And that, of course, would be the city leaders. He says, if you have to cite people to refuse shelter and implement a daytime camping ban. And as John has pointed out many times, there is a daytime camping ban allowed by the Ninth Circuit ruling a few years back. They can sleep there overnight, but they got to get out during the day. And this DA says, I'm aware of that, and I want the city to enforce that.
And enforce all the other quality of life rules.
Right.
Like you can't blockade a sidewalk, right? That violates the ADA laws.
Right.
You can't have start fires in public if you're on parkland.
Right. The person we're talking about at the center of this is the mayor of Sacramento, a name that's familiar to longtime John and Ken show listeners, Daryl Steinberg, who used to be the head of the state Senate. And because he got termed out and he had nowhere else to land, he decided for now to take more taxpayer money as mayor of Sacramento. And he thinks this is a stunt by the DA. Well, I hope it's not.
Well, I don't understand. Steinberg is the one who's not enforcing the laws and making Sacramento unsafe. So, of course, he turns on the DA here. What are you turning on the DA? He's right. He's telling the truth. You've abdicated your responsibility. You're allowing what Ho describes as these public nuisances. And he's threatening Steinberg with misdemeanor charges for allowing the nuisances. I don't see anything in this story that says that Ho is not legally correct in his analysis here.
So here's the details. The letter went out on August 7th. You have to prosecute certain offenses, hire more attorneys, audit your spending on homelessness, or he will pursue misdemeanor charges against officials for allowing a public nuisance on city property if they did not act within 30 days. Now, today being, September 7th, we're pretty much on top of the 30 days. So we're going to find out very soon whether he's going to follow this up. Now, misdemeanor charges doesn't mean it's going to be a big criminal deal, but it is going to certainly make an embarrassment out of these hacks.
Yeah, and this is what ought to be done. Huh. I mean, I'm so disgusted with just everybody who lives in these cities for putting up with this.
Right.
You go take trips like, you know, most of us do during the summertime, and you go to different cities and states, and you don't see any of this, and it just really hits you over the head. It's like, people just don't allow this. And there's no discussion about, appeals court rulings and what the ordinances are and about the lack of compassion. They simply just say, no, you can't do this here. Period. You cannot do this here. So get up, move on somewhere else. I don't understand why people put up with this stuff. Why? Why is everybody enduring this all these years?
So, predictably, a homeless advocacy group, which calls itself a union, really? The Sacramento Homeless Union? They filed a complaint with the State Bar of California against the Sacramento County District Attorney. I looked it up. The county has about 1.5 million people. Their last homeless count was just over 10,000. So that's significant, and most of them are centered in the city of Sacramento. And I know this may be hard to believe for a lot of our listeners, but Sacramento is one of the fastest growing cities in the state for people to live in. And the reason is it is cheaper than the Bay Area and a lot of LA area places. So
and government keeps growing.
Yeah, and government keeps growing. So some people have gone there as a way to figure out how to afford the housing. So especially during the pandemic, it blew up because people were marching out of L.A. and San Francisco and San Diego. And this was at least a city they could go to where they thought they could find work. And as John pointed out, lots of government work there. So we're going to find out what this Sacramento County District Attorney does in terms of following up on his letter and going after city officials, because from what I understand, and I don't go to Sacramento often, I don't think much change has been made in the last 30 days.
No, because Steinberg is, I said, an incompetent boob. He's a do-nothing.
He's been mayor 7 years.
Yeah, I know. He's like Garcetti. That's all. Yeah. They're all Garcettis. They don't do anything. They don't
just
care.
Just looking for the next government job to glom onto.
That's all. He checks his bank account every 2 weeks to see that the taxpayer-paid paycheck clears.
Right.
That's all he cares about. And then he checks his political account to make sure the donations are coming in so he can run for something else after he's termed out as mayor.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. It's the iHeartRadio app.
It's KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app, on the radio 1 till 4 after 4 o'clock. The John and Ken On Demand podcast on the iHeart app.
Well, the criminal justice system in the news this afternoon, and I guess it's not really good news for the Church of Scientology. Actor Danny Masterson received his sentence today of 30 years to life in prison. He was convicted of raping two former members of the church. And these women say that, it took them some time to come forward because Scientology doctrine forbade them from reporting a fellow member to the police. These assaults took place in the early 2000s, like 20 years ago. Reminds you of the Catholic Church again, doesn't it? Like,
well, once you know that, why would any woman belong to this weird cult?
Cult. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, why would you do that?
I don't know. They do get some type of mind control over members. It's kind of hard to figure out.
And
then to the rest, if they say, you don't understand, come and be enlightened and read about us.
You're right. I don't understand. But
you have misconceptions about who and what we are. Remember even... what's her name got drawn into this? Karen Bascon, right?
Karen Bascon was given a like a campaign
years ago.
Speech,
she or, gave some sort of praise, right, or something like
right,
that.
Right, yeah, because she was trying to get money. Because there's all these wealthy Hollywood celebrities that are involved in Scientology, and it's one of the things about the human mind. Like, I try to understand it. I've read a lot about these cults and why people are attracted to them. And but it's still, I can't wrap my head around it.
No.
Because I don't understand how lost you have to be, whether it's, you know, Charles Manson or some of these gurus, you know, the Maharishi type gurus that were popular years ago. I mean, there's always another version of these things. And what I don't get the attraction of it. Why do you want to turn yourself over to other human beings who really, in most cases, are looting you for money or trying to compromise you for sex? I mean, those are the drivers of people who run cults. It's to get money and sex.
And just like the Catholic Church, he apparently was a pretty powerful member of the Church of Scientology. So they were protecting him when these women came forward with their stories. And it said they were just sent to, like, ethics counseling instead. Oh, don't.
Ethics counseling.
You weren't raped. You're imagining it.
Because I'm sure the reason they went after Hollywood celebrities is to get their money. So if he's powerful within this cult, it's because he gave them a lot of money, like Tom Cruise did or John Travolta did.
Yeah.
No. That's,
well, don't they take like some of your income or something like that? Isn't that kind of the idea?
I don't know. I don't know how. I don't know what the requirements are. How much of it's voluntary? How much of it's I don't know. But I do know that the celebrities get lured in because the Scientology bigwigs want to get at the Hollywood cash.
Looks like he Cosby'd these women. All of the women describe falling prey to Masterson after he served them drinks that made them disoriented and nauseated.
Yeah.
Some of them said that they were attacked by him. One also claimed that he spat on her, called her white trash, and initiated sex with her while she was asleep.
Yeah, he's a psycho. He's a psychopath. And I guess he found, being in this cult, he gave him access to, hot Hollywood starlets who were also lost.
The way California sentencing laws go, I don't know. Will he actually spend 30 years behind bars? Or
yeah.
Will there be some type of, we want to empty the
first
prisons,
thing I
remember.
Thought of.
Or do they not do that for celebrities because they consider them having privilege and how dare they commit a crime and they were offered all the opportunities and still failed and now we have to punish them. The other person making the news this afternoon from the criminal justice system, I guess he was on the John and Kent show once at least. The former White House advisor, Peter Navarro. Do you remember that,
yeah,
John?
Because he was
he was involved in trade.
At UC Irvine.
Oh, okay.
And we had him on. There was some issue early in Trump's term over China, over the way Trump wanted to deal with China. And Navarro came on.
I think it was trade or something like that. Remember, that was the one thing that Trump screamed a lot about back in 2016. He was going to do something about the trade deficit with China and everything like that. What's that?
He might go to federal prison now.
Yeah, it's contempt. He wouldn't comply with a subpoena related to the, quote, plot to overturn the 2020 election. So they only deliberated for a few hours at the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C., and they found him guilty of two counts of contempt for refusing also to testify before the House January 6th committee and to turn over some documents that the committee wanted.
It's pretty easy to convict somebody on that type of contempt charge because you send them a subpoena, they don't show up.
They didn't send you the documents. They didn't show up. He was citing Trump's executive privilege or something as the reason that he couldn't get the documents over. He couldn't testify.
Nice try. You're not the president. You're an advisor. You
but
have
of course,
to show up.
Like Trump, his top advisors take the whole thing as a charade that there was no plot to overturn the 2020 election. We believe that we were fairly contesting the results. So why should I submit to an investigation into a plot that didn't exist?
Okay. Well, all right. Go to prison then.
Well, each count carries a minimum of 30 days and a maximum of 1 year in prison. So he could get a couple of years, I guess, in prison if they do go that far with the sentence.
Potentially. They gave that to Steve Bannon, too.
Yeah. Apparently, protesters showed up and were shouting him down when he was talking to reporters outside the courthouse today. I guess they're not supporters. They were probably Trump haters who
followed
this stuff closely. Yes, I know. Yeah.
Hired left-wing goons.
I think they should all be in jail. He said, sad day for America, not because of the guilty verdicts, but because I can't come out and have an honest, decent conversation with the people of America. He said, this is the whole Marxist, the woke Marxist left mob here, and this is nuts.
Yeah, but you still have to testify before Congress if you get a subpoena. So you can distract with all your woke mob stuff, and you're right, but that's not the point here.
It's a kangaroo court. Why should I submit to a kangaroo? Oh, that term, a kangaroo court. He says he's going to appeal this. This may end up in the Supreme Court, blah, blah, blah. They didn't take very long to reach their verdicts, and again, he said he didn't appear because former President Trump told him he could assert executive privilege in the case.
Sure. I'd go by his advice.
Yeah, Trump always gives
good advice. Good idea.
It's smart to follow Trump's advice. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere. The iHeartRadio app.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, The warmth of Fredo and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of
bit.
Us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
On the radio 1 to 4 after 4, John and Ken on demand podcast. Listen to what you missed.
Yeah, we invite you to leave a message for the Moist Line, which will play during this hour tomorrow, as it does just about every Friday. Use the iHeartRadio app, the microphone icon, or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86. They like to do things differently every now and then in Huntington Beach. The city council voted this week to ban the implementation of COVID-19 vaccine and mask requirements in the city. So they're getting out in front of the problem, I guess.
So it was a 4-3 vote. So this affects private businesses and the city agencies?
I guess. The motion asserted that the mask mandates that were previously imposed in the city unnecessarily limited the freedoms of the citizens of Huntington Beach.
Hear, hear.
Even those who were not around anyone who tested positive for COVID or at risk of any exposure. The ban applies to city personnel, not to private businesses.
Just the city.
Just the city itself and their operations. So you would think that would that mean that what if the Orange County Health Agency was telling that the government employees had to mask up, the Huntington Beach is saying, you don't have to.
There's been more and more of this in the air. You know, there's a few schools that have reinstituted masks.
Yes.
And
they're mostly colleges, I've read, and stuff. Some colleges have got some.
Oh, how hideous.
I heard they're sending people home that have COVID-19.
Yeah. Like fourth year now, they're trying to make people wear masks. And you have all these woke students running around and woke professors. And everybody's yelling about masks. And, oh, my God, what a horrific hell colleges become. Just unbelievable.
Another day in the writers and actors strike, and today they decided to go to the Amazon studio in Culver City to focus on one issue. It's a bill that would give them unemployment insurance. You see, there's a bill in Sacramento that would allow unemployment insurance to striking workers in California. Now, striking writers and actors in New York and New Jersey are already eligible for unemployment benefits after 14 days on the picket line, but California doesn't have this allowance. So Senate Bill 799, probably it's already passed the Assembly Insurance Committee, and the legislature has until a week from tomorrow to vote it and give it to Newsom. That is kind of weird because you normally think of unemployment insurance for people that were laid off.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you get money when you
choose
voted,
to strike,
you voted not to work, so you're not working. What did you think was going to happen? I'm sympathetic to the writers. I got several friends who are in the Writers Guild who are on strike.
I've noticed that. Yes, you have been very sympathetic.
Lines. But I, when it comes to I choose not to work, now give me some money, you know, that the government is supposed to supply the money. And I, you know, and I know the businesses actually pay into the unemployment fund, but I don't know.
But that's not the nature of unemployment. Unemployment is supposed to be when you're involuntarily unemployed.
Right. Here they're voluntarily said, we're not going to work.
Where you could have continued to accept the salary and do the job, but instead you decide to walk. I'm a little hostile to that. How's that?
You've been offered a deal. Now, it may be a bad deal, but no company is required to pay you what you want. You may be absolutely right that you deserve more and that they're screwing the writers over. Yes. But in the end, they own the company. You don't. If you want to pay writers more, you know, go start your own company. It's just not the way life works. And yes, you have more power because you've unionized. So the power of big numbers. But if they're still not paying you, now you're turning to the state to bail you out. I mean, maybe you should be getting another day job for the time being. I mean, why not go to work and get a regular job?
Now you think you'd have to figure out a way to supplement your income. I don't think they spend all day on the picket lines. They take turns, I guess. The WGA, that's the Writer Guild West president, said writers have had to rely on strike loans from our union, donations, philanthropy, and second and third jobs to pay for their basic needs since May 2nd. 4 months without work is emotionally brutal and financially disastrous.
It is,
but that's a choice you made in order to try to get the studios to kneel and give you what you think you deserve. So
this is what makes me crazy just about the whole country, the way the culture's changed over the years, is you don't take responsibility for the decisions you made. You decided to get into the business, and it's been known for 100 years that Hollywood studios and networks, production companies, don't treat talent fairly. You have to be unusually successful, and then you get to call the shots, right? Then you get to be, you know, Schwarzenegger demanding $20 million or Harrison Ford, something like that, right? But if you don't have that pull, you don't have that popularity or the talent, whatever it is, then you're going to be fighting a whole lot of other people who can do the same job just as well. I mean, it's a tough market out there, and there's too many actors and there's too many writers, and most of them don't work most of the time. So,
as I said before with this strike, there is so much material and production out there now that everybody can't expect to. I mean, they're claiming they're getting nothing in residuals, which I can understand that argument. There's even been a few actors that were in series that are considered pretty popular that claim that they get very little in residuals from the, because these things tend to run forever on streaming.
They get screwed over. So what I'm saying is, okay, you're all in on the strike, then you really ought to be lining up another job while you're on strike and not be going to the government to bail you out. Why is it the government's responsibility here?
I think they have a good shot since Sacramento loves unions.
They do. Well, because
it takes a lot of donation. They're very sympathetic, particularly to Hollywood and actors. Although the other side of that is, that's right. Well, the other side of that is that they also get big donations from Hollywood studio executives who probably wouldn't look kindly on this because it's like, you're going to help them stay on strike? Thanks. You're going to give them unemployment money that'll keep them out even longer? We got to get back in production here, and I don't want to be paying out a barrel of cash to these people.
So. Yeah, well, it's all the left-wing people declaring war on each other.
Exactly. All right, we got more coming up.
It's always great.
It's the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
More. I got nothing. I'm spent. I'm just going to lie down now. So, you never know when you see these stories whether or not you're dealing with snowflakes or you're dealing with a crazy person in charge. It's another story of a toxic work environment. Rolling Stone has a writer who spoke to 16 current and former staffers of The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon. They claim that their mental health was impacted because of their alleged mistreatment behind the scenes. They called Jimmy Fallon erratic. You never knew which Jimmy was going to show up to work that day. Some claimed it appeared he was quite inebriated, although he denies he ever came to work drunk, saying something like, "How could I drink all day and then go to work and put out that show? It wouldn't be possible." You'd think you'd notice it on the air a bit, wouldn't you, if that was the case with somebody?
Depends when you're doing your drinking.
What did they call it? Yeah.
They usually tape the show late afternoon.
Functioning alcoholic, they call it, right?
Right. So, I mean, if you can get it together by, 5 in the afternoon, yeah, you could get blasted and lay around all morning and crabby and grumpy from the hangover. I could see that.
So they said that sometimes he would throw, and I haven't heard this term in a long time, a hissy fit. Mm. And he would berate people and scream at people. And, of course, as I said, they even cite the crying rooms where some people went to recover.
Okay. The crying room.
They went to the crying room in order to try to gather themselves after they were rather publicly berated by the talk show host.
And some of them said they felt suicidal.
Suicidal, yeah. I saw that headline.
Suicidal ideation, I think, is the term they used. You start idealizing suicide. You're writing for a comedy show, or you're doing production work for a comedy show. If you think you're going to be committing suicide, it might be you. Well, so get another job. There's like 600 shows that they're producing now. So go somewhere else.
Some of them are gone. 4 said they went to therapy. 3 said they experienced suicidal thoughts because of the toxic working. In one particular incident, 2 employees said Fallon scolded a crew member in charge of cue cards during a taping with Jerry Seinfeld and only apologized because Seinfeld said you should apologize. Although Seinfeld later called the magazine's version of that story stupid and an idiotic twisting of events. Apparently, though, this afternoon, Jimmy Fallon did issue an apology to anybody that felt that they were treated poorly in the workplace. They're now claiming, and NBC's claiming, that things have changed, that those stories are from years, or they're years old. Culture of the show has changed, right?
Well, they had 9 producers in 9 years, and some of the bad behavior was from the producers.
Is that right? 9 producers? We've had the last 20-something years.
Well, what they call the showrunners, these are the guys really like to direct the whole operation.
Well, TV is completely different from radio. It's really just incredibly hyper, and there's too many people involved, and everything's overmanaged, and everybody stresses out about everything.
They do yell a lot. I know somebody who was in television, and they got out of it, and they said, I just got tired of people screaming at each other all day over a TV show. That's what I don't understand. I mean, you work on a TV show and you're seriously embracing suicide. Could there be something wrong with you? Why don't people, when they're in an unpleasant work environment, just go?
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's like everybody acts like they're trapped they're a hostage to some sort of cult. There's a door. Go. If enough of the staff leaves, Jimmy Fallon or whatever ogre is running the place.
It was my dream to work on The Tonight Show, John. Why would I leave that dream because someone's mean to me?
Yeah. Well, why don't you grow up, all right? You're not 8 years old anymore. There's no such thing as a dream. It's reality. Yeah.
They're also claiming that one of the executives with the show also had a big part, an executive by the name of Jamie Granite Betterman, who actually left in March of 2022, constantly bullied and mistreated staff. So it wasn't all about Fallon, but he issued an apology to him, the whole thing. All right, Conway.
Hey, now. Hey, do you remember, when kids, I remember my dad used to say that, when kids are younger, they just say, I just want to be happy in life. And my dad's like, look, happiness is like once or twice a year,
Yeah.
That's true.
When you win a big hand at blackjack or, you're having a new baby or whatever, it's about once or twice, maybe 3 times a year, max.
That's sad.
Yeah, but not 24 hours a day.
Interesting examples. You have a baby or you win a hand at blackjack.
I was going to say, really. Or a horse.
And you mentioned. Yes.
Yeah. Who could we be talking about? Yeah.
And you mentioned the blackjack first.
Well, have you ever had a big hand go your way?
I have never.
I have, yes. Oh,
there's exciting. Nothing like that. Nothing like
exciting,
it.
Right.
When you're splitting,
when you're on a run, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you start doubling down.
That's right. All right, the NFL begins today. National Football League starts tonight.
It does. Yeah. Chiefs. Go Chiefs.
That's wild. The Chiefs and the Detroit Lions. So that'd be cool. Right. Airfares have dropped to the lowest prices in years, so get out there and enjoy yourself. And then We have also a 7-year-old finds the second largest diamond of the year in a park in Arkansas. How about that kid? 7 years old. Biggest diamond. Second largest diamond in Arkansas.
Is it belong to somebody?
I don't know. What's a diamond in Arkansas? Like a Waffle House? I don't know.
It'll buy everything up there.
Right. And that'll be it. You know, that's enough. Dean Sharp's gotten on with this, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Ding dong.
Ding dong.
All right. Conroy,
come on.
Crozier is the news. Live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.